This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 2, 2015, the ninth Sunday after Trinity, by Father William Doc Holliday.
I am the bread from heaven. May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For those of you who are here regularly, you know I like to get the Gospel one week, and then the Psalm the next week, and the Old Testament reading, because I like us to integrate our understanding of our faith throughout the Scriptures. But for the next month or so, we are going to stay in John chapter 6, because John chapter 6 is the consummate Eucharistic chapter, laying the foundation for the Eucharist. Our Lord says, I am the bread of life. We hear in the Catechism that the Eucharist is the source, center, and summit of our faith. In short, it is the absolute essential for your eternal life. Bottom line, no question. The source, center, and summit of your faith. And if something is the source, center, and summit of your faith, we need to understand it. We need to understand it. We need to embrace what our Lord says about it. We need to embrace what the Church has always taught about it. And we have to understand it in its entirety, in all its facets, as much as we can understand something that is such a mystery in this world, this blessed sacrament that our Lord gives us on the altar. We need to understand it. And as I said, I don't normally do that, but because it is so important, I want us to all to understand, because when you understand what the Eucharist is, the import of the Eucharist, you understand why we do the things that we do. You understand why we approach the Lord's altar the way we do. You understand the reverence that is given. There is substance under the form. We don't do things that we do here because they did it way back when. They did it way back when because it's the right thing to do. And that's what we still continue to do because we understand the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. The Roman Catechism says at the beginning of the chapter on the Eucharist, and I quote, as of all the sacred mysteries bequeathed to us by our Lord and Savior as most infallible instruments of divine grace, there is none comparable to the most holy sacrament of the Eucharist. So for no crime is there a heavier punishment to be feared from God than from the unholy or irreligious use by the faithful of that which is full of holiness, or rather, which contains the very author and source of holiness. In order that the faithful, therefore, aware of the divine honors due to this heavenly sacrament, may derive therefrom abundant fruit of grace and escape the most just anger of God, pastors should explain with greatest diligence all those things which may seem calculated more fully to display its majesty. It is truly unfortunate that in our day and age the full majesty of the Blessed Sacrament of the altar is not presented to us. It is not presented to us in all its facets. You hear so much about the Eucharistic meal. You hear about the supper. You hear about presidents. You don't hear about sacrifice. You don't hear about the dangers of the Eucharist. What? Danger of the Eucharist? What we just read from the Roman Catechism, it says that there is no heavier punishment to be feared from God than from the unholy, irreligious use by the faithful of that which is full of holiness, or rather, which contains the very author and source of life. All the other sacraments, baptism, confirmation, name them all, they all impart the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ objectively to us, every single one of them. The Blessed Sacrament of the altar is the consummate sacrament, because not only does it impart grace, it is
our Lord Jesus Christ himself. And when you start believing that, when you start understanding that, then you will understand that not only is it something tremendously glorious, I cannot sit up here and use all the adjectives and tell you how glorious it is. You have to also know the other side of the coin. You have to understand that the Blessed Sacrament of the altar is also extremely, very dangerous. And I don't mean just in a spiritual sense. It is dangerous in a temporal sense. I point out frequently the omissions that have been left from the lectionary in recent history. They are all extremely problematic. That's a gross understatement. There is not an omission that is more malfeasant than the omission, and I always say if you are so predisposed to take notes, I would suggest you take note on this because you don't hear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 27 through 30. It is a dire warning from the Holy Spirit about the dangers of the Eucharist. I quote, "Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a man examine himself, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died." The Blessed Sacrament, if it is unworthily received, can make you sick and can even kill you. That is a dire warning from God Almighty himself. It has been excised from our lectionary. And it's truly unfortunate that a lot of things that have been omitted are warnings from Almighty God. They talk about his justice and his judgment. There is nothing that is more pointed than this pronouncement by the Holy Spirit as to how we should approach the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. Only two things. One, discerning it. You read statistics. Oh, this percentage of Catholics don't believe in transubstantiation. That in and of itself is tremendously problematic because to be a Catholic, you have to believe in transubstantiation. You may be a Catholic culturally, call yourself that, that if you don't believe in transubstantiation, that when the priest speaks the words of consecration, that bread and wine no longer exist, that it is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are not a Catholic. You do not believe that. You have to believe that. Now, if you're struggling with that belief in everything, I want you to be here, particularly over the next month. But I do not want you to partake of the sacrament. Come up and receive a blessing. Sit in a pew and just listen. You have to believe in the real presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. And it also says, examine yourself. Examine your conscience. And that does not mean subjectively. Well, I think I'm okay to receive the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. You're not the one who makes that determination. The church, and it is presented. There is a pamphlet in the little pamphlet rack out there. It's called an examination of conscience. If you question, I wonder if I'm really where I should be to receive. Take that pamphlet. It tells you explicitly. Because if you are in any of those sins, you are separated from the grace of Christ and you ought not be receiving the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. Because you could possibly be receiving damnation to yourself. It's not my words because I'm a hard case. The words of God. You just heard them. 1 Corinthians 11, 27 through 30. If you eat unworthily and drink unworthily, you eat and drink damnation to yourself. Again, that is not a subjective thing for you to determine. And that doesn't mean that you're a rank pagan and just kind of sneak it in here to get the Blessed Sacrament, for whatever reason that might be, out of superstition or whatever. Fire insurance. Okay? If you are contracepting, if you are cohabitating, You are separated from the grace of Christ, and you ought not be receiving communion. These are the words of the church, the Holy Spirit speaking through the church. It is that important. And it's not the church stiff-arming anyone. Oh, the church is so mean, they won't give that person the sacrament. It is just the opposite. The church cares about your soul. The church loves you. And the church knows if you receive unworthily, you are eating and drinking damnation to yourself. You could get sick and you could die in this world. You will surely die eternally if you receive unworthily. Those are not my words. Those are the words of the church. Those are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. They are warnings. They're warnings for us. We should not shun warnings. We'd get all bent out of shape if we didn't have warnings on this label and that label. Heck, we got warnings that are ridiculous. I remember when I was in the service, we used to have these big radios that take these huge batteries. PRC 77 were these kind of radios. And on the side of the batteries, there was this list of warnings. And you're talking a long time ago, before it even really got out of control. It said on the side of the battery, one of the things that you should not do with the batteries, do not chew on the batteries. I've never chewed a battery since. I was so glad that that warning was there. But I mean, seriously, we get warnings all the time in life. They're good for us. They make us wary of things that could hurt us, even if we don't want the nanny state telling us what could hurt us. But I mean, sometimes they're good. Oftentimes they are good. So ought we shun the warnings of Scripture? We ought to shun the warning. Let's take the warnings out. I always like that. It's problematic for modern Catholics. There is no such thing. You are either a Catholic or you are not. There's no such thing as a modern Catholic or an old Catholic. Last time I looked, old Catholics were people like St. Francis, St. Dominic, St. Ignatius Loyola, St. Therese, St. Catherine of Siena. Old Catholic. Oh, we wouldn't want to be like that. God forbid. There's no such thing as a modern Catholic. The warnings are there for all Catholics for all times. And guess what? It's really hard to believe that just because you don't hear it doesn't mean it's not there. That is what is tremendously dangerous. And there might be visitors here. I'm never going to that place again. I like to hear about the love and the meal and all that mercy stuff. I'm not going there and listen about warnings about the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. Guess what? Go somewhere else. Don't ever hear it. It still applies. You can run, but you can't hide. That's all there is to it. Not my words, the word of our Lord. How can he talk about the medicine for our souls like this? It is truly the medicine for our souls. Without doubt, absolutely it is the medicine for our souls. But guess what? Medicine has warnings on the labels. Why? Because you need to know your condition before you take it. Medicine can be very dangerous. I'm going to preach a funeral tomorrow for a friend of mine. He died of cancer. And several months ago, they were trying their best. He was a younger guy. I really think he's younger because he's a year older than me. Really young. They were doing everything they could for him. And they hyper-chemotherapied him. Usually chemotherapy is Monday through Friday and get the weekend for a break. They had a nurse come to his house on Saturday and Sunday and give him chemotherapy. And his doctor told him, he goes, what we are doing to you, there is a very good chance that it will kill you. He knew he was going to die anyway, so they're trying to... What chemotherapy does is cancer cells are more fragile than healthy cells. So what they do is poison you and hope that some good cells hang out and you can recover. That's how it works. If you've ever seen a person receive chemotherapy, the chemotherapists come in and they got these big gloves on and shields. You know why? Because it's poison. But it's medicine for some people because of their condition. Guess what? If you get a sinus infection, get a little headache, don't go, hey, run some of that in my arm. It might very well kill you. It's still medicine. The same thing with the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. Blessed Sacrament of the altar is medicine for your soul, but you need to know your condition before you take it, because it can kill you. Again, on my words, the words of the Holy Spirit. Jesus understands this. He's laying the foundation for this whole teaching, and that's why we're going to go there for about the next month. Because he leads us gradually into understanding this great mystery. Because he knows that it will be a stumbling block. He knows it's going to be a stumbling block to the people to whom he is speaking in this passage. He knows it's going to be a stumbling block, which it is, to people in our own churches. Hence the, I don't believe in transubstantiation. They don't believe. God, our Lord Jesus Christ, has shown them. John chapter 6 starts out with the multiplication of the loaves. And then Jesus does some nifty little thing. He walks on water. So he's fed 5,000 people with a couple of loaves and a couple of fish. And then he walks on water. And then he chastises the people, as we heard last week, for following him because of what they see and not what they believe. But he's preparing them for a profound truth, and now he lays the foundation for that truth, and he says, "Who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." He's using earthly analogies of things that we know that if we don't have them, we will die. If you do not eat and you do not drink, in short order, you will die. You won't be here a week from now. If you stop eating and stop drinking right now, okay, you won't be here. And Jesus is taking it to the next level. Because you know, we're here because we want to live in eternity in heaven. And he's telling, you're not going to live anywhere for eternity if you don't take the bread which I am giving you. I am that bread from heaven. Disciples to whom he is speaking, the loaves and fishes, feeding 5,000 with a couple of heaven, many, many baskets left over. They see that. They see him walk on water. And they say this, "What sign do you do that we may believe in you? What work do you perform?" Really? Feeding 5,000 with a couple loaves and a couple fish? That's not enough? Walking on water? That's not enough? What are you going to show us that we believe? That's, again, we can sit here and wag our heads, but our churches are chock full of people who come in and hear about the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. Hear the word, "This is my body which was given for you," and don't believe it. They do not believe it. Food and drink is essential to our earthly lives, and our Lord, as I said, is taking it to the next level and saying, if you don't eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, there is no life in you. We will get to that one later on in the study. Because our Lord has shown us, by even the first reading today, the first reading about the manna, in this particular translation, you don't get the manna thing going on there. The Hebrews say, what is it? In Hebrew, manhu, what is it? Manna. That's where they get that. That's what it means. Manna doesn't mean bread from heaven. It means, what is it? They didn't get it. Okay? Our Lord uses the manna and he uses the loaves as parables. You think parables so often, we think of a story. Our Lord uses things that he shows us to be parables. The manna in the wilderness, sustaining the people who were in the Exodus experience, wandering in the desert, the Lord sustaining them. That is us in this world. The Exodus experience of being outside of heaven, being beset by our natural humanity, subject to sin and subject to death. He sustains us. He sustains us with something much greater than manna that went away. You have to collect this much of it and don't save any more of it because it'll turn to worms and get nasty. You know, our Lord never gets nasty. Our Lord is here with us all the time. He uses the same thing with the loaves and the fishes. He is showing us a parable of how he is the bread of life for us eternally. He identifies himself as the sustaining necessity of our eternal life. That is what the Eucharist is. It is the essential necessity of your spiritual life. The people who don't even get this, the people to whom he is talking, say, "Lord, give us this bread always." They don't know what it is. They don't get it. The Eucharist isn't on their radar screens. Our Lord is just laying the foundations. They hear this, "Lord, give us this bread always." They don't respect the Eucharist, and they did not believe that he's working on them. That's what he does with us every time we come here. He works on us. He draws us closer to him because he loves us. And it is truly a two-edged sword. It is a very dangerous thing, but how glorious is it for the blessings for those who come worthily and receive it. And you know, I saw all these things. I pointed out some things that are, you know, just kind of common things. I receive communion, and I this, and I receive communion, and I that. You're eating and drinking damnation to yourself. But guess what? You know, oh, my God, because you can err on the other side. I'm never going to communion because I'm not worthy. Guess what? None of us is. But we can put ourselves in a state of grace with our Lord Jesus Christ. And to maintain that state of grace, venial sins, they're covered by the confessions of the Mass. Mortal sins, they are covered by confession. You just go in there and you fix it. It's been 50 years. Go in there for 3 minutes and fix it. Come worthily. Because the dangers are far, far outweighed by the blessings that will come to you if you receive it worthily. Accepting the mystery of the Eucharist requires faith. You have to believe it. Our Lord says that himself. He who comes to me shall not hunger. He who believes in me shall not thirst. We have to believe. I cannot explain it to you. I am not able to, nor should I. That's why God gives it to us. No human being can explain this. You have to have faith. You have to believe. Because when you believe, I love the words of the psalm, the Tantum Ergo, that we hear when we adore the Blessed Sacrament or when they have benediction. Faith, our outward sense befriending, makes our inward vision clear. Things look to our human eyes and feel to our human sense of touch one way, but they are something completely different. That is belief. And you have to believe it. As I said, it's not subjective. You have to believe it because it is the necessity of your spiritual well-being. It is the necessity of your spiritual life. So if you question, again, that pamphlet's out there. You question, go to confession. Fix it. Well, I've got 4 or 5 of these, so I can't fix it. You can have all of them in spades. And you're in there for 3 minutes, and you fix it. I'm good with you coming in. Good. I read these things. I'm all of them plus. I absolve you from all of your sins in the name of the Father and the Son. I mean, we'll talk a little bit afterwards, but that's all it takes to worthily receive our Lord. As I said, I've pointed out a lot of the dangers today because why you don't hear about that so often anymore, if ever. And those are the words of our Lord, and you have to hear them. But on the other side of that coin, you have to understand the graces that come from a worthy reception of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.